everyone, and welcome back to The Insatiable Appetite. I'm Haley Anthony, Marketing Manager here at Hartman Group, and I'm joined by my colleague Tamara Barnett, Senior Vice President of Strategic Insights. Today we're here to talk about our recently released piece of thought leadership, which is called FutureCast Food and Beverage 2024. Welcome, Tamara. Can you start off by telling us a little bit more about what FutureCast is?
Sure, and thanks for chatting today, Haley. I'm really excited to talk about FutureCast Food and Beverage, which is our point of view about long-term demand trends in U.S. food and beverage culture. We've been providing this industry-influencing POV for nearly 10 years. It's one of many different vehicles we have for helping to inform and strategically consult with leaders in the food and beverage business. And this year marks our most recent biannual update. Now, some of our listeners might be familiar with our topical trends reports and our syndicated studies, which are fabulous in their own right for providing deep dives into specific facets of consumer culture and subject matters like sustainability and wellness and how all of that is influencing the food landscape. But FutureCast is unique. It's a thought piece designed to help facilitate discussion with business leaders about the macro shifts impacting consumption behavior and helping them to identify the trends that are creating pockets of demand that not only they can access, but we would argue they must access in order to remain relevant, let alone to grow and to thrive.
Yeah, that's great. And given that we're seeing so many shifts happening in the food and beverage landscape currently, it seems like FutureCast is especially relevant now, right?
Yeah, I totally agree. I think we're seeing these shifts coming from both a macro point of view in terms of socioeconomic and large-scale cultural shifts, things like demographic shifts from diversification to different cohorts aging in and out, the emergence of new age cohorts, to technical acceleration, how hyper-connectivity and the emergence of AI is reshaping so many industries, including food and beverage. So that macro piece is a critical context, not only for food and beverage, but for many facets of life and for consumer behavior. And while these longer-term shifts are happening, we're also facing these much more near-term happenings. COVID, which we're not quite sure whether it's over or not, right? COVID is here, but maybe it's not here. Inflation that we're experiencing, perhaps even more poignantly felt in a way. So these kind of day-to-day realities, along with these long-term structural shifts, are resulting in new demand-side trends that are forever altering the food and beverage landscape. And we understand that that poses immense pressure for businesses to determine where to focus marketing, how to clarify messaging, where to invest from product development or channel development, as well as immense opportunity to seize on these new pockets of demand and adapt to these new changing needs and preferences. So FutureCast has been a response to the need we saw among those in the food and beverage business, whether it be manufacturers to retailers, food service, really across the board, to ensure that they have their pulse on the major currents that are shaping food and beverage.
Yeah, really great points. And there's a lot of really great content in there. So while FutureCast is instrumental in shaping strategy for food and beverage companies, it strikes me that it's also offers a different lens for thinking about the implications of new developments in the food and beverage industry as a whole. So, for example, our team has been tracking the ongoing developments in Kroger's proposed acquisition of Albertsons. And just in the last several days, it was announced that the FTC and 9 states have sued to block this proposed merger. So can you speak to that a little bit more, Tamara?
Yeah, that has been an interesting development. We've had our eye on this saga for quite some time and even have begun sharing some our initial thoughts when the proposed merger was first announced, even a year or so ago. So it's been really interesting to observe some of the recent critiques about the proposed merger coming from the FTC, some of which echo our point of view, not in terms of whether the deal should happen or not. We're not really in that part of the business, right? Or even whether the FTC suit will be successful. You know, we're really known for taking that consumer and cultural look at things and considering those cultural and consumer implications of the merger. And so in thinking about that, we do echo some of the perceived challenges from the shopper's point of view of what a newly enlarged supermarket chain might entail. You know, one of the first challenges that many critics of the merger speak to is that it could raise prices of products and diminish accessibility, even if store counts begin to be impacted. That could potentially affect accessibility, not only prices. And that would be an important point of concern. Always, price is always king, but it feels especially poignant right now given the financial tumult of the market and consumers' personal pocketbooks. And the long-running studies that we've looked at in terms of consumers' attitudes about grocery stores is that they've often seen supermarkets as being allies of theirs and trying to live healthier, happier lives. Essentially, they think of stores, grocery stores, as being on their side. But the combination of knowing about a big merger and then experiencing price increases or maybe even experiencing a lack of price decrease at the shelf could undermine perhaps that goodwill that shoppers have towards a given retailer, especially in a time where consumers are really looking for some sort of rationale for why they're experiencing the woes of inflation. You know, another thing that comes to mind that we hear stated less often, but that the FTC raised in its public statement, is the issue of quality and variety. And we would argue that this issue is just as important as price, if not more so. And of course, the potential critique there was that without that positive pressure of competition, a consolidated retail chain just wouldn't have the same variety of product assortment, or it wouldn't be pushed to deliver against the desires for quality in either its branded or private label offerings. And, you know, at the Hartman Group, we've long talked about how variety is really essential to consumers, not only as it pertains to the assortment that they're able to have access to across different types of stores, but also in service and in the retail environment and the quality proposition that different stores can really build their equity around. So diminishing quality or diminished retail experience is a significant concern. You know, at the same time, while the FTC was kind of hyper-focused on talking about competition within the supermarket channel, you know, we would say it's important to recognize that we've been seeing a major shift in terms of shoppers going to a far broader number of channels, mass, specialty, club, that don't just augment their use of supermarkets, but they're also going to these channels for many of their daily needs. So when we talk about the impact of achieving variety and quality, you know, our perspective needs to reflect the current reality that this is one channel we're talking about, when in fact, you know, consumers are achieving variety and achieving quality across different and multiple channels across their occasions and needs. And then lastly, you know, I think I'd say the other thing that the FTC really pointed to was the potential negative impact on workers. So just as grocery store chains compete for shoppers, they compete for workers. And so, you know, they're forced to submit for better collective bargaining agreements that result in better wages and working conditions. And I think what's so interesting about this third point is that it's certainly valid, but oftentimes people talk about it as a labor issue. They say, oh, a potential merger could hurt consumers in this way. Oh, and then there's the labor issue. And we would argue that labor is a consumer issue, you know, not only because it could impact several hundreds of thousands of grocery store employees who are also consumers, by the way, but because consumers are increasingly concerned about economic equity as an issue that impacts their communities, if not themselves directly. So yes, a number of interesting tendrils, you know, to this issue that this particular recent event has raised, and one that we'll continue to track.
Yeah, absolutely. And those are all some very valid concerns. Also notable that Kroger and Albertsons have submitted their own rebuttals to many of those points. So definitely interesting to keep our finger on the pulse there. And our point of view is that the potential impact of this merger is definitely very nuanced and remains to be seen.
Yeah, absolutely nuanced, because not all consolidation in the food retail sector has proven to be bad. You know, we've seen some mergers with improved value as it's forced other retailers to accelerate their own innovation and retail experience. There's been lower priced offerings made available to shoppers. So as is true for most things, it really is a nuanced discussion.
Yep, definitely. And yeah, we're very eager to see, keep monitoring this and see how it all nets out. But to just bring this discussion full circle, this is just one example of how one potential change in the industry is indicative of a greater shift, a shift that future casts may help us to better understand or interpret, right?
Yeah, that's right. And thank you kind of for bringing it back full circle. I think also when you think about the multifaceted issues that this Kroger-Albertson scenario raises, whether it be pricing, accessibility, variety, labor, service, you know, food and beverage manufacturers, retailers, food service providers, everyone who has a concern or interest in food and beverage is going to need to have a clear understanding of those topics and many more and be prepared to engage with those issues for a winning strategy. You know, what is value to the consumer? What is quality to the consumer? What is the future of retail? Those are essential questions that not only those in the food business need to begin to have a point of view on, but they just so happen to be one of many different areas that we explicitly talk about in Hartman's Future Cast. And so we not only want to share our POV around these sorts of questions, but also guide our clients into thinking about the implications to those questions and the emerging realities that they pose. And we believe that FutureCast is really ideal. It's this catalyst for gut checking an organization, especially an executive audience, to ensure that they're looking at the most important shifts and trends that are driving products and services and experiences of the future. And it's so important, I think, now more than ever. You know, we're in this sea of shiny objects, different trends, even industry happenings like the ones we've just been talking about. And FutureCast is not only a POV we provide, but this interactive engagement, which can really prompt leaders to think, you know, and say, are we looking at the most important things? Are we asking the most important questions? Maybe we're asking the right questions, but you know, do we have the answers for those? And have we interpreted them correctly through the lens of culture and consumer? And that's precisely what FutureCast is designed to help walk through and guide that introspective look while also being outward and forward looking and to really consider those key things.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, that speaks to what our listeners might now be wondering is, okay, all of this sounds really great. And I want to know these things. So how do I engage and how do I access FutureCast? So there are several different options, but really, ultimately, this is really customizable to your organization's needs and goals. So for example, one option that would be ideal for a strategy setting with smaller groups and especially executive teams is for the Hartman Group to come in and facilitate an interactive discussion. This could be in person or virtual, focused on specific topics in FutureCast that are most relevant to your business. And this can also be tailored to larger groups, say 10 plus participants, with breakout groups or even splitting it into a series of sessions. And another option still is that would be great for larger teams or divisions is for Hartman to give a dedicated FutureCast presentation, which could include Q&A as well. That would be really tailored to inform and inspire further internal discussions for those larger teams. So if that sounds like something your organization would benefit from, please reach out to Shelley Belanco, our SVP of Business Development, to learn more and schedule your session. Her email is Shelley, that's S-H-E-L-L-E-Y, at hartman-group.com. And that's all we have for you today. So thanks so much for joining me, Tamara, and thanks to our listeners for tuning in. Make sure you're subscribed to The Insatiable Appetite on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts so you never miss another episode of these snackable insights. We'll see you next time.